Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hello, I'm Taylor Payne. Welcome to another Matchday Pod on the Tyne. Newcastle's defence of the Carabao Cup begins with the visit of high-flying Bradford City. They are flying high in League One, to be fair, but nevertheless. Let's see what happens in this one with the lads at St James's Park. And is that a bit of autumn creeping in? Maybe Chris Waugh will have his big coat on.
Baltimore. Barnes again, and Asula arriving to touch it in on the line. Newcastle turning on the style at the finish. They are heading through to round four with 4 goals tonight.
In actual fact, it's me who has my big coat on. I've gone very, very early. Chris is in front of me. He's wearing a sort of fleecy jacket, I'd say, a blouson. I'm in full winter regalia.
You're very green.
It is very green, but no, I've gone big and I've gone early with the winter garment. Anyway, that's enough about that. And on to far more important matters, starting with Carabao beer. Since when has, I want to drink it. It's been It's been advertised around the perimeter of St James's Park all evening.
I think there were a few cans at the Carabao Cup final,
The interesting thing to me about that is we have sampled Carabao. It is, without a shadow of a doubt, kryptonite, except for absolutely everybody. It's not like a specific kryptonite. It's just like the worst possible drink anybody could ever drink ever. And now they've turned it into a beer. I'm sort of fascinated by that. Let's start this podcast with a question. Has anybody who listens to us sampled this nectar? If so, please tell us what it's like. I'm just fascinated.
Just on the energy drink theme, I mean, last Thursday, because it was the Champions League, it was Gatorade was on display at the front. Eddie Howe could have drunk it if he wanted to. I don't think he'd only picked up. But then we got a Sunday and Red Bull are one of Newcastle's sponsors, so they were back in the... Sorry, Red Bull is what usually in the press room. There's a fridge at the front and you can get it. And then tonight, that was hidden at the back because we're in the Carabao, so it's the battle of all of the sort of energy drinks.
Not sure how many Newcastle players or indeed anybody else drank that on Sunday. Not sure. I definitely didn't either, judging by my output. Anyway, come on, let's get on with this. Newcastle United are going to win this thing for a second consecutive season.
I just don't think they're losing this competition.
They've powered beyond Bradford City and they now have a home game to look forward to against Spurs. Another home game, so that's great. That's a tasty fixture, but at home, which is great. So come on, Chris, you were in the press box. You were in Eddie Howe's press conference afterwards. Let's just start with some overall feelings about that match tonight.
The fact that Newcastle made life comfortable for themselves, which is not something I think we say that often, felt good in that respect, that after 20 minutes, basically, the game was over. It was a difficult first 15 minutes, but we can come on to that in a little bit. But also, 7 changes again, second consecutive match, 7 changes. But you look at the strength of the side that Newcastle put out there. If you rewound 5 or 6 years and Newcastle had made 7 changes for the Carabao Cup, you'd have been extremely worried. Yet you looked at it, and probably 6 or 7 of those players may well start against Arsenal on Sunday. Certainly quite a few of them will be in the conversation. I would say probably at least half that team will start against Arsenal. And the ones who came in are ones who are really pushing. A lot of them are really pushing those positions. So I think it shows the depth that has been created now within the squad. It shows that Newcastle can rotate. And the fact that they've scored 4 goals, well, a team, yes, they may be playing League One side, but a team who've struggled to score so far this season, to have got four goals, for two of them to be Willa Sula, for two of them to be Joel Linton. I think it's an important night in so many ways, and yeah, hopefully no injuries, that, at least that we know of. So I think all in all a pretty successful and comfortable night.
If we're talking about bigger picture stuff, which I think that's only fair to do at the start, we're talking, as you say, four goals. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a bit of disappointment to have let one in, but you're talking about playing a team, yes, from the lower leagues, but top of League One, absolutely flying at the moment. It's, you know, naturally that's a kind of banana skin game for any team. And ultimately Newcastle have powered through, lots of possession, 27 shots, 11 on target. They could and should have had more goals, but and were able to sort of make changes on their terms during that match. So that's the bigger picture. Newcastle have got through, and have got through comfortably. Let's, however, break that down a little bit. I was a bit nervous, I have to say, in that first 15 minutes or so. I thought Newcastle gave the ball away early. I don't know if that was nerves or if it was the opposite. If it was
Ramsdale, had to make a save within 45 seconds.
Overconfidence, yeah, absolutely. Ramsdale had to make that
on his
early
debut for Ramsdale.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sort of felt a bit uncomfortable that Newcastle's start was hesitant in that sense. Was that nervousness, do you think? Do you think that was the fact that players, you know, were playing, you know, lots of changes have been made again and they weren't sort of sure of each other, or was it kind of overconfidence, do you think?
I don't think it was nervousness. Was there a bit of overconfidence potentially? I think partly Bradford were always likely to throw everything at it early on, and I think that they went quite direct early on, and maybe Newcastle were just a bit sloppy in those sort of relationships still being built, people not knowing necessarily exactly where they had to be on the pitch relative to others in terms of not having played this side before. And then when Bradford got that little bit of momentum early on, I think Newcastle just sort of, maybe then, it, rather than nerves, it was just that sort of, we cannot lose this game, and maybe it just becomes that the pressure starts to build a little bit, and it sort of snowballed from there. And Ramsdale had a couple of saves to make, he had to come and claim a couple of crosses, as you say. There were a few straight passes. I think certainly first half, even after Newcastle scored the two goals, their performance first half was littered with poor passes. Yeah. I thought Lewis Mighty tonight was either brilliant or a few moments where he really struggled, including for Bradford's own goal, but I thought largely he was very good. Some of the ridiculous criticism he got after Sunday's performance at Bournemouth was that he was too safe with his passing. Well, tonight I thought he was the one who tried to drive Newcastle forward. He tried to play those passes into dangerous areas. He tried to carry possession at certain moments, and he was involved in, I think it was the fourth goal, doing exactly that. And so, yes, it was a sloppy start, and I was a bit concerned. And actually, Newcastle's first goal comes from their first two efforts on target, if you can count Gordon's block shot being sort of on target, and then Joel Linton finished as well, and then Newcastle score again within, I think it was like 90 odd seconds, and Willa Sula scored, took the ball really well, really nice move again. Bruno Guimaraes on the turn receiving it from Miley and then giving it on to Sula, who finished well.
It's a beautiful through ball by Bruno, but he took that really well. If we're talking about positives to take from the evening, the fact that Sula has scored twice and now has three goals this season, so he's Newcastle's top scorer. We're not trying to say that he's the answer to Newcastle's problems in terms of scoring goals, but for someone who came close to leaving in the summer, Newcastle still don't have kind of backup options there with Johan Wisse still out. It's vitally important that someone's chipping in with goals, and that the next rung down, as it were, from Nick Valtamada is able to keep chipping in, and that'll do his confidence a world of good.
Yeah, I mean, Howe admitted afterwards that it had been a turbulent summer, as the way he described it, a turbulent end to the summer for Willa Sula, because he was close to joining Eintracht Frankfurt, and then it fell through. And he started through the middle, and I thought he actually struggled first 10, 15 minutes, but he got the goal and he visibly improved because of that. He probably should have had a hat-trick tonight. He had other opportunities. Had one header in the second half from a Gordon cross, which he managed to put miles wide. Yeah. But then he was shifted out wide when Valtamada came on for the last 25 minutes or so. And I think that's actually where Newcastle see a lot of his football can be. And although they've got quite a few options out wide, to be able to have someone like Sula, who's slightly different, can add a bit more physicality to the side, you can be a bit more fluid in the way that you play. I thought that he linked up well in that regard. It did feel like an important night for him tonight. It shows that he can contribute, and contribute in games like this, where Newcastle are going to have to keep rotating. And Howe said that The Sula's been banging on the door for quite a while wanting to play, but now his training performances are justifying it, and he's starting to justify it in matches as well. And so, yeah, I thought that was a huge positive and shows that maybe there is someone below the only striker they have at the moment in Nick Valdemar who could actually come out and play a bit more.
I don't know if you have an answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Bruno Guimaraes did not play at all at the weekend. He needed a rest. That's what we were told. That's what Eddie Howe said. Didn't play a minute. He has then come on and played 100 minutes tonight. Didn't come off against Bradford City, with Newcastle having another huge game this weekend against Arsenal. I'm not asking this from an angry point of view. I'm just asking it from a confused point of view. What do you think the logic was there?
I think the logic with Bruno is there's a delicate balance between he's someone who benefits from the rhythm of a lot of minutes, but there is also a point where he gets in the red zone. And Howe was asked about it after the game, and he sort of said it. He said that he thought that Bruno looked more energised again tonight, having had a few days where he sort of wasn't involved. And because he's sort of all action all of the time, even just a few days of him having that rest just between a Thursday and a Wednesday, I think it was important. I think it's important as well for Newcastle to show that their captain is playing in this competition. That was one of the strongest things about the team sheet tonight, was that the captain was selected and then the captain played every single minute despite them being ahead. And I think Bruno wanted to be on the pitch and he was making things happen. And I thought what almost the last 20 minutes was an exercise in Newcastle trying to build some of those attacking relationships, try to work out how they're going to play with Nick Valdemar. Because when he came on the pitch, we'd already seen it with Gordon earlier on, when Gordon was very regularly trying to come inside and trying to almost overload the box. When Valdemar came on the pitch, Barnes was on by that stage, Willisula, and he was coming deep, and then you were trying to, there was Joe Linton and Bruno Guimaraes trying to go beyond the ball. You had the wingers coming inside. And so I think there was almost experimenting within games. Well, Howe spoke afterwards about, and we know from 2 years ago, they're basically not training at the moment. So it was almost, there were 2-3-0 up by that stage. This is an opportunity to almost test in game, and Bruno's likely to play most Premier League matches. So I think there was an element of that as well.
It was 7 changes again tonight, wasn't it? After Bournemouth. So it was 7 changes at Bournemouth, and then it was 7 changes tonight. But Newcastle's team, incredibly strong, I thought. And then one of the things I kind of quite liked was that as the game was going on, yes, of course, you take the opportunity to give some of the people who were starting a rest, but also the strength of the people coming on. Kieran Trippier comes on after 61 minutes, as does Livramento, as does Barnes a little bit later, and Valdemar as well. You could have taken that opportunity to throw on Willock, to throw on Lascelles, but really, I mean, like you do get a sense of the strength of Newcastle's squad in moments like that, but also keeping the minutes ticking over. It was Tonali really amongst the very, very senior players who didn't get any minutes tonight. But you know, Newcastle are able to use their bench now and know that those players are going to make an impact coming on.
Yeah, and as I say, I thought that almost having Trippier and Livramento, I thought Hall was good on the pitch. There was a few really nice moments from, but maybe he's still not necessarily ready to start against Arsenal. It'll be interesting to see that fullback selection as to what Howe goes for this weekend. But I suspect the way that because he made the changes and brought on Trippier and Livramento, that was again to build those relationships going into the weekend. But you just look at centre back as well. Dan Burn out of the squad completely tonight, having played every single minute basically up until this stage. Obviously Fabian Schär is currently out with his concussion, he can't play on Sunday. But you look at that combination of Chow and Botman and you'd be quite comfortable if they
look
were in
really
the Premier League.
Good again.
They're really good, they're both very good on the ball, they're both defended well. I mean, there's a couple of moments where Chow played a few straight passes, as I think a few Newcastle players are guilty of at certain moments, but you can also see why Newcastle like him and why they bought him. I mean, they realise this bit's dying out, part of it is this concentration. But those two together, you think if they were to start on Sunday, I don't think they will. I think Byrne will come back into the side, could even be 3 at the back, because he's done that before against Arsenal on the side. But suddenly you look at that and think, whereas a year or two ago, this is no disrespect to Jamal Lascelles, he did brilliantly in the Champions League last time out, but you did think this is not Newcastle's strongest side. Now you look at it, and Byrne talks about in his programme notes tonight, actually, despite not being in the squad, he says, we look at this squad and we have to get used to the fact that it's not players being dropped so much as rotation, and that's what's going to have to happen over the course of the next few weeks.
Yeah, and of course there's a lot of unseen stuff that we don't kind of get to witness, which is what's happening on the training pitch. All of those players in training every day, the competition there to be ready for the next match, whichever competition that Newcastle are playing in, is very, very exciting. They know that they can't turn up and have one bad training session, let alone one bad game. You know, you only think back to the recent past where the manager's just not been able to make substantive changes to his team game on game, and now there's a real sort of luxury there. And yeah, we said in the midweek pod, you have to sort of get used to that, and the team have to get used to that, the squad has to get used to it.
Just on the squad, I think there's been one, and this is not a dig out, but I think there's been one big loser, quote unquote, over the last 5 days, and that has been Joe Willock, who didn't even come on tonight.
Yeah.
And he struggled, I thought, down at Bournemouth at the moment. He wasn't the only one, and I think a little bit too much made of how he struggled, but he hasn't had a brilliant start of the season. The fact that he didn't get on tonight, you don't suspect that he will start against Arsenal at the weekend. And so he's someone at the moment who I think more is needed from. He had an unfortunate injury during pre-season and then missed the start of the season. But I think for him, he's probably the one who you look at and think he hasn't really grasped any of the chances he's had, and he is going to struggle for game time in the next few weeks.
That's a great thing. That's a great thing for Eddie Howe to be able to say. It's like, okay, you want to play, then you've got to show me. And you know, in the past, there might have been a kind of one or two positions effectively up for grabs simply because of the quality of the first 11 compared to the rest of the squad. Now there's quality everywhere. You look at that midfield, it's a tough, tough ask to get into that first choice midfield. But if you do get a chance, you know, you've got to take it. And, you know, increasingly we're seeing that across the pitch now. And, you know, I feel for Joe Willock. He's had a terrible time in terms of luck and in terms of injuries. But, you know, That's the business we're in. He's got to perform. He's got to take his chance when he comes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
I'm happy, I'm going to get my suit measured.
Somebody who came back into the team, because it's the end of his suspension, of course, was Anthony Gordon, who you mentioned earlier. He seemed to spend the first 10-15 minutes getting just foul after foul after foul. Again, I sort of thought that was interesting. Bradford, as you would probably expect, got here and were very physical in the way they played, you know, and Gordon went down a lot. Aside from his finishing, I thought he was very busy. It was good to see him back out on the left. But you also noticed that he was playing this more fluid role and coming inside, and you think that's maybe the shape of things to come with Voltimade. I'm excited about seeing him come back into the team. I'm sure he will start against Arsenal. The way he played in pre-season was great to see, particularly after everything else that was going on this summer and everything that had gone on the summer before. He looks committed. He looks like he wants to make an impact for Newcastle, like he wants to make a difference, that he's now a leader of this team.
Yeah, I mean, I asked Eddie Howe about Gordon before the Barcelona game, and he gave an answer at that point where he said it's a big season for Anthony. And then I asked him about Gordon again today, and he didn't seem massively enthused about the fact. Maybe it was just those vibes that I get when Eddie Howe doesn't seem like answer my questions.
Yeah, good performance today from Anthony. I thought he had a really good attitude to the game, wanted to perform, wanted to impress, had a number of shots, worked well with the players around him on that left-hand side. Yeah, came into central areas. That was part of our game plan.
My theory is that this is also, as I say, the way Newcastle are trying to play with Voldemort as they work and progress, despite Voldemort not having been on the pitch when Gordon was on the pitch, is to get these bodies beyond him and get bodies centrally, because he wants to come deep. And there was even, when Voldemort came on, there was a couple of times where he gestured to Joe Linton to get beyond him because he was coming deep and wanting the ball. And it's about getting those bodies centrally. He's a very different striker and it's going to take time, but that's what you need. And it means that Newcastle can be fluid. They've got full-backs who want to get forward and can contribute getting forward. You've got number 8 who can go outside or come inside. And so if you have someone like Gordon who can be more direct And I think that's why he's best coming off the left, because he can come more central, but he can also drift out left. And that's where the chance for Willis Suda that he should have scored back, he actually stayed wide, Gordon, and then cut in and crossed. Yes, he should have scored. He missed a few opportunities, but I just thought he looked busy, he looked involved. Yeah. And it does feel like a big few weeks for him coming up, because he's had a stop-start 6 months. I'm writing about him for The Athletic for Friday, that it's I think he's only started 7 of Newcastle's last 18 games in all competitions, largely because he was suspended for 6 of those. But he's someone who would usually be in the first 11, but he hasn't been able to have that consistent run. And he's so important for the way Newcastle play. Now Alexander Isak is gone, you need someone to step up. Just on Isak, I wanted to raise something which I noticed tonight, that not only was there a chance again, and smattering in the second half, anti-Alexander Isak chance, but I've noticed that Newcastle appear to have, in their montages pre-game, almost sort of brushed Alexander Isak out of recent history. They showed a lot of montage of goals from last season, and there was absolutely no Alexander Isak ones, which I realise the bitterness towards him, but he also did score quite a few goals last season. So but it's all about the future now, and that's what this has to be. It's going to take time to reach any sort of level.
It's also about massive parochial petty bitterness. If football isn't about that, Chris, you haven't been paying attention. No, but things are moving forward. A couple of things I would like to point out. I mean, in terms of both looking back and looking forward, I think we have to mention the fact that was nearly a sellout tonight. It was 51,000+, extraordinary. You know, Newcastle's
nearly 5,000 Bradford fans were.
Yeah, Bradford fans were absolutely magnificent. They were great. But you know, to see St James's Park full, Newcastle have just won this competition. They're then playing at home against a League One team, but still the hunger to be there, to be part of it, for Newcastle to go and do it all over again, just absolutely fantastic.
We want to win anything that's put in front of us, and I think the attitude stems from us as coaches. Our attitude to the competition then should filter down, and when you're at a club this size, I think that these are opportunities to win trophies and you can't just turn them away. The hard rounds for me in this competition are the early ones. They're very difficult, and they have been historically for us. You go back to last year playing Wimbledon, that was a really tough game that we needed to battle through to get further in the competition, and that's how we're going to look at this one. And the mentality of the group, you can't switch it on and off. You either want to win or you don't want to win, and you know, we work on that every day.
The other thing we have to say, well done, and what a hit for Andy Cook, Bishop Auckland's Andy Cook, 34 years old now. It's had a bad injury. I think he's a Geordie, am I right? In
yeah, well, he idolised Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer.
I think he stuck his hand up his arm in the air as an Alan Shearer celebration as well. So.
What an absolutely magnificent hit that was. And yeah, a brilliant moment. I mean, you know, massive sort of intake and breath. Where I was in the stadium when he did that, but
wasn't brilliant from Lewis Miles. Lewis Miley tried to clear the ball and then it was intercepted. But as I say,
that was unstoppable, though.
No. But it was before that. Lewis Miley tried to clear it in the ball, and so there were plus and minuses from a few players. But I thought largely Miley on the ball tonight was very good. I just wanted to touch a little bit more upon before we close off on Aaron Ramsdale. As I said, he had a couple of saves to make early on. I thought he came for cross as well early on. He then basically had nothing to do. He could do nothing about the Bradford goal, but he basically had nothing to do in terms of a shot-stopping form for the rest of the match. But what I thought was interesting was you saw certainly first half that the Newcastle players are very comfortable at passing the ball back to him. It's almost noticeable, as in like he becomes that extra player, outfield player almost, in terms of Pope. Sometimes you can see they're almost looking for their options before they pass it back to him, because Ramsdale's comfortable with his feet. It's not that he's comfortable with his feet in necessarily an Edison way or an Allison way, in terms of he's going to ping all these really long passes. He usually keeps it quite simple, whether it's out wide to one of his fullbacks or in the midfield. But players will look back towards him and will actually give him the ball in those situations. And I just think that shows you what could be different. Nick Pope will almost certainly start against Arsenal on Sunday. He deserves to, because as a shot stopping wise, he's been brilliant so far this season. But it's also just that little bit of insight into the difference you could get with Ramsdale. Maybe not the same in a shot stopping capacity, and I can't see any way that he could drop the goalkeeper who's kept 4 clean sheets in 5 Premier League matches. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting to see a little bit of how the other players reacted to Ramsdale being the goalkeeper there.
Well, it's been a good night overall. I think you have to say, can't have done much more than that. Thoroughly professional job. All in all, Newcastle are in to the next round, and there are now only 16 teams left in it. I mean, it's a great opportunity already, and I'm really pleased, you know, really pleased to see them perform the way they did tonight and win. You know, this is the club's first trophy domestic trophy for 70 years. You don't want to give it up without a fight. When you're seeing them play high-profile Premier League games and, of course, Champions League games now too, of course, it feels different in terms of priority. But this is still a big, big deal. And, yeah, another home game against Spurs to look forward to. So that's great.
Do you still feel like a winner, George?
I still absolutely feel, I'm going to feel like a winner forever, Chris. I mean, it's happened. You're seeing all these people wearing shirts in the stadium tonight. Carabao Cup winners on the back of their shirts. Anyway.
It's 22:47. Where in Newcastle can we get a pint of Carabao beer then, do you think?
I'm not sure. I mean, I do need to know more about this. I mean, I still have the aftertaste of us drinking Carabao that one time. I never really want to taste it ever again, but I am intrigued. I'm curious. I'm Carabao curious, I have to say. So please let us know if you've tasted Carabao beer. I would like some descriptions of its, I'm sure, unique flavour. Right, that's enough. The next time you hear from us, it will be the Arsenal game. Big, big match. I wonder what Mikel Arteta will be most irritated about after that match. We will wait and find out. But thank you very much indeed for listening, and we will speak to you then.
Thanks for listening to this League Cup Matchday podcast. You'll hear nothing from us now until Arsenal come calling on Sunday at tea time. We're sure that one will be a disgrace in some form or other, but we'll have the full story then, and it should be fun. Games coming thick and fast at the moment as well. We can barely keep up. Do go back and listen to our weekly podcast if you haven't already, when we try to dig down into how the new look lineup is coming together for Eddie Howe. Get in touch as well, podonthetyne@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, X and Blue Sky @podonthetyne. Give us a rating and a review on your podcast outlet of choice, if you would be so kind. And we'll see you all on Sunday. Take it easy. Tatty bye.
And Sunday we go again. See you lads.